Chapter 39, The Box. The dining hall buzzed with the clatter of trays and the murmur of voices as the slaves gathered for lunch. Melissa stood near the serving table, her hands steady, as she helped Zuri arrange the bowls of stew they'd cooked that morning. The air was thick with the scent of spices and boiled yams, a rare comfort in the academy's cold routine. She glanced at Hannah and Jennifer, who were setting out wooden spoons, their movements quick and practiced. Hannah caught her eye, offering a small, tired smile, but Jennifer kept her gaze down, her lips pressed into a thin line. The door swung open, and Zuri strode in, her whip coiled at her hip, her expression as unyielding as the stone walls around them. Behind her shuffled a new girl with a steel collar glinting around her neck. She was naked, her pale skin flushed with embarrassment, her arms twitching as if to shield herself. She fumbled with the collar, fingers brushing the metal, then crossed an arm over her breasts, her other hand hovering near her vagina before dropping in defeat. Her green eyes darted around the room, wide with a mix of defiance and unease.
"This is Carla,"
Zuri announced.
"She'll be joining us. Carla, help set the table."
Carla's head jerked slightly, her breath catching as her eyes widened at the command. Her hands trembled, fingers clenching into fists at her sides, but she didn't meet Zuri's gaze.
"Ordering me around like a bloody servant?"
she thought, her Irish accent thick in her mind, outrage simmering beneath her fear. But the weight of the collar, the sting of her nakedness in this foreign hell, held her back.
Fine,
she muttered, her tone barely masking the anger bubbling inside. She moved to the table, her step stiff, her arms still half covering her chest, as she grabbed a stack of bowls, her movements jerky and reluctant. Melissa watched, her own collar a heavy reminder of her first days. How she had hated the nakedness, the loss of freedom, and being ordered around. As they knelt on the ground to eat, Melissa, Hannah, and Jennifer clustered around Carla, their curiosity piqued. Hannah asked,
"So Carla, how'd you end up here?"
Her tone was gentle but probing, her Canadian accent softening the question. Carla's eyes flashed, but she answered, her voice low.
"I worked for a bastard in Dublin. Found out he was embezzling company funds, big time. I gathered evidence, thought I could do the right thing, and asked him to come clean with his higher-ups. Stupid me. He had me snatched and shipped here. Now I'm his property."
She spat the word, her fingers brushing her collar again.
"What about you lot?"
Hannah shrugged, her smile bitter.
"Au pair scam. Thought I'd nanny in France. Ended up in a shipping container. Been here 2 months.
Jennifer's voice was colder.
"Modeling gig in London. They locked me in a cage. Sold me to some rich creep. 3 weeks in."
Melissa stayed quiet, her own story too raw to share. Lunch ended too soon, and Zuri's voice cut through the chatter.
"Outside, all of you. Training."
The slaves filed out to the courtyard, the tropical sun blazing overhead, the dirt hot under their bare feet. Zuri barked orders, her whip cracking in the air.
"Run! Crawl! Faster!"
Melissa dropped to her hands and knees, her muscles burning as she scrambled through the dust, the other girls panting beside her. A sharp sting lashed her thigh. She'd been too slow, and she bit back a cry, pushing harder. Carla lagged behind, her face red with exertion and anger. She crawled awkwardly, her arms still trying to shield her breasts, her movements jerky as she muttered under her breath.
"This is bloody insane, naked outside like animals."
A whip crack landed on her back, and she yelped, her body jolting.
"Move, slave!"
Zuri shouted, her voice like thunder. Carla's eyes blazed, her resolve hardening even as she complied, the strike fueling her defiance.
Back inside, Zuri led them to a training room for posture drills.
"Kneel,"
Zuri commanded, pacing the line of slaves. Melissa sank to her knees, her thighs spread as trained, her gaze fixed on the floor. Hannah and Jennifer followed suit, their movements smooth from practice. Carla froze, her face twisting with disgust. She glanced at the others, her body tensing as she started to lower herself, but revulsion surged within her. Kneeling for Zuri felt like a betrayal of everything she was. Her knees bent slightly, then stopped, her legs trembling with the effort to obey. Fear of Zuri's whip clawed at her, but her pride burned stronger, screaming against humiliating herself before this woman who had already struck her outside, who didn't deserve her submission. Zuri circled back, stopping in front of Carla just as the next command came.
Kneel!
Carla's body stiffened, her half-lowered stance locking in place. Zuri loomed over her, a black woman, older, her frame wiry, but commanding. Carla's mind rebelled. She shouldn't have to kneel for anyone, least of all Zuri, who had already proven her cruelty. Her lips curled in defiance, and she straightened fully, her voice a low mutter.
I'm not kneeling for you.
Zuri's eyes narrowed and her stick came down hard, striking Carla's shoulder.
Kneel, slave!
Carla flinched, her defiance wavering, but she held her ground. Zuri struck again, a barrage of blows raining down, shoulder, back, thigh, each hit a sharp crack against her skin. Carla's legs buckled under the onslaught and she sank to her knees, her face red with humiliation, her eyes burning with rage.
Spread your legs.
Carla's cheeks flushed deeper, but she complied, her thighs parting as she knelt before Zuri, her defiance still smoldering in her gaze.
Zuri turned to the group, her riding crop tapping against her thigh.
Why do we spread our legs when we kneel?
She scanned the lineup, her eyes narrowing as she stopped in front of Jennifer. With a flick of her wrist, she extended the crop, lifting Jennifer's chin until their eyes met.
Jennifer?
She prompted, her voice sharp. Jennifer swallowed, her voice flat but steady.
To show masters, we're not hiding anything.
Zuri nodded, a curt acknowledgement.
That's correct.
She retracted the crop, stepping back to survey the line.
Worship position,
Zuri commanded next. Melissa lowered her forehead to the floor, her hands beside her head, her body a picture of submission. The others followed, but Carla froze. Worship before Zuri, the woman who'd beaten her, who stood over her now like some god to be revered. It was too much. Her breath came in short, ragged gasps, her chest heaving as panic clawed at her throat.
No,
she said, her voice trembling. Cracking with a mix of terror and defiance, her eyes wide with fear.
I can't do this!
Zuri's face darkened, and her stick came down hard, striking Carla's thigh with a sharp crack.
Obey, slave!
She roared. Carla, still kneeling upright, flinched under the blow, the sting radiating through her leg, but her resolve hardened. She broke position, shuffling to her feet, backing away as Zuri's strikes followed, thwack, 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 each hit landing on her thighs and arms, bruising her skin.
I said no!
Carla shouted, her voice raw with defiance, her words spilling out in a frantic, pleading rush.
I shouldn't be here. This is wrong. I'm not a slave. You can't do this. Let me go, please. Just let me go.
Her voice cracked, tears brimming in her eyes as she stumbled back, her hands flying to cover her breasts and vagina in a frantic, futile effort to shield herself.
You will?
She said, voice like gravel.
Or you'll learn what happens to those who don't.
Melissa's breath caught, her head still pressed against the floor and her hands next to her head, a jolt of fear spiking through her. This was different, a defiance she hadn't seen before. And the punishment Zuri hinted at felt darker, more sinister than the whip's lash. Zuri's patience snapped. She grabbed a whistle from her belt and blew a sharp note, summoning Victor. The head trainer stormed in, his bulk filling the doorway, his cold eyes scanning the scene. Zuri turned to him, her voice tight with frustration.
Victor, this one refuses to obey. She won't take the worship position, keeps breaking stance.
Victor's gaze settled on Carla, a satisfied smile curling his lips.
We fixed that,
he said, his Russian accent thick, his tone flat, but laced with anticipation. He seized Carla's arm, his grip iron tight, and dragged her out as she struggled, her shouts echoing down the hall.
Please, I don't belong here,
she cried, her pleas echoing with desperation.
I'm not a slave. Let me go.
Melissa watched, her heart pounding, as the door slammed shut behind them. Zuri turned back to the group, her expression hard.
Worship position. Again.
The slaves dropped into the stance, foreheads to the floor, hands next to their heads. Melissa's muscles trembled, her mind racing with Carla's defiance and the price she would have to pay. The training continued, Zuri's commands relentless, her whip cracking to keep them in line. An hour later, as they held a kneeling posture, a faint sound drifted through the open window. A muffled cry, sharp and desperate, followed by a dull thump of fists against the box's wooden walls. Melissa froze, her breath catching. The sounds came again, softer now, a broken sob barely audible over the courtyard's hum. She glanced at Hannah, whose face had paled, her eyes fixed on the window.
It's the box,
Hannah whispered, her voice tight.
They always make sure we hear.
Melissa's stomach twisted, the faint, eerie cries burrowing into her. She couldn't, she wouldn't end up like that. Later, the slaves gathered in a low-ceilinged room for a lesson in Grabesian culture. Mats lined the floor, jars of oil and cloth stacked along the walls, the air heavy with the scent of herbs. Melissa sat between Hannah and Jennifer, their friendship a source of strength, while the other girls settled around them. Zuri entered alone, her stern face carved with the authority of a woman born to this land, her whip coiled at her hip. Carla's absence hung thick, a silent testament to the morning's clash. Zuri stood at the front, her voice rasping with a native edge, clear and unsoftened by foreign tones.
Today, you learn about Grabesh, its blood, its truth. Here, justice is not what you think. It's not soft words or grand promises. It's might, pure and simple. Power rules all. Who eats, who works, who owns, who kneels. Long ago, 5 tribes fought over this land. None could win until 2 joined forces in the Great War. They crushed the rest, took their fields, their lives, their kin. Them that won, like my ancestors, stand free today. Them that lost, their descendants wears collars. That's justice here. What you take and hold with strength, you keep. Nothing more, nothing less.
She paced, her boots scuffing the floor, her gaze sweeping the group.
You understand this?
The girls' voices rose in unison, a weary chorus. Yes, ma'am. Zuri nodded, her eyes narrowing.
Now listen, you came from lands with a different idea of justice. Soft, weak, full of lies. They tell you the world owes you fairness, that you're born free, that chains are wrong because you're good or pure. They say everyone's got rights, like some shield handed down from the sky. Where I'm from, we don't believe that. Rights don't fall into your lap. They're won with blood. Freedom's no gift. It's a prize your kin fight for. In the wild, a lion takes a gazelle because it's stronger, faster, sharper. No one cries unfair. Here, tribes are the same. Some rule, some serve. That's the law of nature, not some book of rules.
She stopped, her whip tapping her thigh.
You see the difference?
Yes, ma'am, the chorus answered, fainter this time, the weight of her words sinking in.
Good,
Zuri said, her voice rising with conviction.
Your foreign ideas of justice are nothing but fairy tales. They don't teach you the value of violence. That is why your people can't fight. And that is why you wear collars now. In Grabesh, justice is might, nothing more, nothing less. You're not here because of a failure of justice or because you were cheated. You're here because might won. My tribe stands free because we fought and we won. They defeated. Their kin kneel because they lost. Such is the way of nature. Power decides, and them with it live free. Them without it serve. Learn this, and you'll see your place is not unjust. It's the natural way of things.
She leaned forward, her tone sharpening. You following me? Yes, ma'am, they replied, voices steadier now, drilled by habit. Zuri's voice softened for a moment, her gaze drifting as if caught in a memory. Years ago, her husband had abandoned her for a younger, prettier woman, leaving her to scrape by with three children in a society that shamed a wife for such a loss. It meant her bond with her husband had been too weak to hold him, and a younger woman's beauty had been stronger. Her life had been hard ever since, scrubbing floors, harvesting crops, until she found her role at the Slave Academy. Now, facing these defiant, pretty slaves, she felt that old sting, their youth and beauty, a bitter reminder of her past, of the woman who had once taken her husband from her. She enjoyed their suffering, the punishments she gave them, felt like a late revenge against the woman who had stolen her husband and her old life from her. Zuri's lips pressed thin.
Now look at what you saw today. That new girl, Carla, she shouted this morning, "This is not right. I don't deserve this. I have rights. I am free." She's wrong, and you'll see why. She was free once, yes, because her people had strength to keep her safe until they didn't. She could not fight the men who took her. Her kin could not stop it. Men with greater force came, and they seized her. That's not a failure of justice. That's her false idea of justice from her homeland failing her. She thought she was free by some rule above us all. Number. She was free as long as our people defended our freedom.
She leaned forward, her tone sharpening.
Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am, the chorus rang out, a mix of resignation and understanding. Melissa's fingers twitched on her mat, a flicker of defiance Zuri didn't see. Zuri straightened, her voice dropping low and fierce.
Those lands you come from, peddle that lie, everyone's born free. Rights are yours. It's not a truth. It's a deception. They tell you freedom's given, not earned, so you don't fight for it. Makes you soft, lazy, blind. They tell you this to disarm you. And when you're weak, oppressors can take you, just like they took you all. You're here because the lies your homelands fed you left you vulnerable. You failed to protect your freedom, and now you kneel in submission. Freedom and rights are won with blood and strength, not handed out. Them that don't see, that lose it, just as you lost yours.
She asked again.
Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am, the naked slave girl said in unison. She stepped back, her stern face unyielding.
Good. Class is over. Meet outside for dinner in 20 minutes.
She turned and stalked out, the door thudding shut. The room buzzed with quiet unease, Carla's fate a raw echo in the silence. Melissa's fingers dug into her mat, her breath shallow, her mind reeling from the horror of the box. This was no mere threat, but a glimpse into the Academy's true power. A cruelty she'd never imagined. Zuri's words clawed at her, brutal, rooted in this land's bones, and too real to deny. She'd thought she'd seen the worst, but the box proved her wrong. Its horror now seared into her memory, a fear that would haunt her like the taser sting on her first day. Hannah sat still, her calm a thin veil, while Jennifer's eyes darkened, her smirk gone. The lessons sank in, heavy and unshakable. The next day, as another week of relentless training dawned at the Slave Academy, the sun dipped low, casting long shadows across the yard. Zuri strode to a small wooden box nestled against the mud brick wall, a cramped structure, barely waist high, its rough planks weathered and stained, measuring no more than a meter and a half square. A heavy bolt secured the lid, which Zuri yanked open with a grunt, the hinges creaking sharply in the still air.
"Out!"
she barked, her voice slicing through the humidity. A pale hand emerged from the darkness, trembling as it gripped the edge. Carla's head followed, her dark hair matted and clinging to her sweat-streaked face. She crawled out awkwardly, limbs stiff and slow from the tight confinement, a sour stench wafting from her. 24 hours in that box had left its mark. Grime and sand coated her bare skin, her breath shallow and ragged as she blinked against the light, eyes wide and haunted. Zuri grabbed her arm roughly, hauling her to her feet. Carla swayed, knees trembling, hands limp at her sides, the reek of her unwashed body sharp in the still air.
"You refused me once,"
Zuri said, her coal-black eyes boring into Carla's.
"Now you'll do it right. Attention!"
Carla's legs wobbled, but she forced them apart, hands shaking as they rose to lock behind her head. Her movements were slow, unsteady, muscles cramped from the box, yet she obeyed.
"Kneel!"
Zuri snapped, and Carla dropped, knees hitting the sand with a soft thud, a faint grimace crossing her face.
"Worship!"
Zuri's voice cracked like a lash, and Carla bent forward, forehead pressing into the grit, hands sliding beside her head. The pose was shaky, her body trembling with effort, but she held it, the fight gone from her. Zuri paced around her, boots scuffing the earth, her stern face unyielding.
"Good enough for now,"
she grunted, stopping short.
"You stink like a pen. Go clean yourself thoroughly. Report back to me for inspection when you're done, or it's 2 days next time."
She tapped her whip against her shoulder, then turned and stalked off, leaving Carla kneeling in the dusk, a trembling figure against the box. Melissa watched from the courtyard, the other slaves' faces a mix of pity and relief, the sour smell lingering as Carla rose unsteadily and shuffled toward the wash area. The next morning, the yard buzzed with the shuffle of bare feet as Zuri paced before the line of slaves, her whip swaying like a pendulum.
"Attention!"
Zuri barked, and the group snapped into place, feet apart, hands behind heads. Melissa moved with them, her muscles honed by weeks of drills, her eyes flicking to Carla, two spots down. Carla stood rigid, her pale frame trembling faintly. She spread her feet and locked her hands behind her head, but her elbows sagged inward, not fully extended. Zuri's gaze sharpened.
"Elbows out,"
Zuri growled, stepping closer. She tapped Carla's arm lightly with the stick, a firm correction. Carla flinched, her breath catching, but she quickly pulled her elbows wide, her face flushing with shame. No hesitation marked her now, no flicker of the fire that had flared in her earlier defiance.
"Kneel,"
Zuri snapped, and Carla dropped fast, knees hitting the sand with a soft thud, gaze fixed downward. Her hair hung lank over her shoulders, her chest bare, the fight wrung out of her. But her knees pressed together, a mistake, as slaves were trained to part their legs, to show they weren't hiding anything. Zuri's eyes narrowed. She strode to Carla, the stick tapping the inside of her thigh.
"Legs apart,"
she ordered, voice cold. Carla's knees jerked open, sand shifting beneath her, her cheeks burning red. She adjusted without a word, her body trembling but obedient.
Worship!
Zuri's voice cracked like a lash, and Carla bent forward, hands settling beside her head. Her forehead hovered an inch above the ground, not quite touching, a novice's error. Zuri stepped closer, her boot nudging Carla's head down.
Touch the ground,
she commanded, and Carla pressed her forehead into the grit, her breath shallow. Jennifer, beside Melissa, muttered low.
Bloody hell, they got her quick.
Her sharp tone hiding a shiver. Zuri paced past, boots scuffing the earth, her grunt of approval cold and grudging. Carla rose at
stand.
Swift but unsteady, her legs wobbling as she straightened. Her hands hung loosely beside her, but her feet were too close together. Zuri's stick tapped her ankle.
Wider,
she snapped, and Carla shifted, spreading her stance. The girl who had shouted, I won't, on her first day, was gone, her defiance now broken, leaving only a fumbling, submissive shell. Her silence was haunting, a stark contrast to the fire she had shown days before. 2 nights before Melissa's test, the basement dorm was quiet, the air heavy with the scent of Grabesian stew and sweat. The slaves sprawled on their mats, each chained to the wall, the metal links clinking faintly as they settled for the night, the dim light casting shadows across the rough weave. Melissa was sitting cross-legged, her chain dragging lightly across the floor as she shifted, Hannah to her left, Jennifer a mat over, their tired eyes reflecting the day's strain. Carla knelt nearby, her pale hands twisting in her lap, her knees pressed tightly together as if to shield herself from the other's gazes, her voice a low rasp cutting through the stillness.
It was black,
Carla began, her voice halting, eyes fixed on the floor as if seeing the darkness again.
The box, no light, just walls, so close I couldn't stretch out, my legs cramped up and ached like hell.
Hannah gasped softly, leaning forward instinctively, only for her chain to pull taut, stopping her short, her hand brushing Carla's arm.
God, Carla, that sounds awful,
she murmured, her voice thick with empathy. Carla's breath hitched, her words stumbling on.
Hot, like an oven, sand sticking to my sweat. I yelled at first, banged till my knuckles bled.
She held up her hands, showing the bruised, scabbed skin. The soft clank of chains echoed as Jennifer shifted on her mat.
Bloody hell,
Jennifer muttered, her sharp tone laced with unease.
They let you bleed in there?
No one came,
Carla said, her voice cracking.
Just silence, then my breathing, loud, fast, stuffy air choking me. I thought I'd pass out. Couldn't tell time. Hours dragged, or maybe seconds, I don't know.
Melissa's stomach twisted, her voice barely a whisper.
How did you keep going?
She asked, her own fear of the box seeping into her words. Jennifer glanced at her, noticing how Melissa's breasts rose and fell more noticeably, her breathing quickened by the tension. Carla swallowed hard, her fingers trembling.
Something crawled over my foot, sharp, bit me, and I jerked, but nowhere to go. At night it got cold, my teeth chattered, I begged, alone, I just wanted out.
She shifted from her kneeling position, moving to sit against the wall, the chain scraping lightly as she adjusted. Once seated, she pulled her knees to her chest, wrapping her arms around them to cover herself, her naked form curling inward in a protective gesture. Hannah leaned in, her voice trembling with disbelief and sympathy.
They did that to you, just for not kneeling?
She murmured, her eyes wide with concern, a faint shudder running through her. Carla's gaze stayed down, her voice trembling.
Yeah, just for not kneeling. They don't tolerate any resistance here.
She paused, her fingers brushing her bruised knuckles, a shiver running through her.
Felt like forever, no food, just a cup of water through a slit, spilled half grabbing it. I thought I'd die there, that they'd forget me. By the end, I'd have done anything to get out, kneel, crawl, whatever Zuri wanted. When she opened it, I couldn't even stand.
That's horrific,
Hannah said, her voice trembling, eyes wide with sympathy.
You didn't deserve that.
Carla's words trailed off.
It wouldn't stop.
Melissa's stomach churned, Carla's words painting a grim picture, worse than the whip, a punishment that broke more than the body. She couldn't shake the image. Jennifer snorted, her edge softened by stillness.
Bloody monsters. They'd lock us all in there if they could. Turn us into puppets faster.
A wave of dread hit Melissa, Carla's words making her see the fate she'd come so close to suffering. Carla met her eyes, haunted but steady.
I thought I could hold out, thought I was tougher. Now I'll do what they say because I can't go back. I just can't. It's not giving up, it's just staying alive.
Hannah nodded, brushing Melissa's arm.
We've all got our breaking point. Talking like this keeps us sane.
Jennifer lay back, smirking faintly.
Yeah, well, next time Zuri barks, I'll picture her in that box. Might make kneeling easier.
A dry laugh rippled through them, thin but real, giving them a fleeting moment of relief.